Welcome to Get Up in the Cool, old-time music with Cameron DeWitt and friends. This week's friends are Scott Mathis and Linda Askew, and they brought with them Guachi music from the Tohono O'odham Nation. We recorded this in the middle of Clifftop Week at Keith McManus's tent down in the swamp. This interview meant a lot to me because, as some of you have probably put together by now, I'm often preoccupied with the issue of race and ownership inherent in traditional music. When is it appropriative? When is it healthy cultural exchange, etc.? As a white guy from Oregon, there's not a lot of traditional music that I have legitimate claim to, so I'm always nervous about getting in trouble. Which is why Scott and Linda are so inspiring to me. They're two white folks who are tradition bearers for native music. They're doing a culturally delicate thing with an incredible amount of wisdom and respect, and they seem to have found a way to participate and engage that's beneficial and consensual, most importantly. When most people either clumsily just take what they want or stay segregated, that's a balance for me to aspire to as I make a name for myself playing music that I have very little claim to. But all cultural implications aside, this is thoroughly cheerful music, and just listening to it again as I edit is such a treat. It's really hard to earn cheerfulness these days. I think most people buck against it because it's not safe to let your guard down. My generation especially prefers to hide behind a few layers of irony at all times, but this music, this Guachi music, is so disarming. I love it. I'm really excited for you to hear it. Stick around after the interview for details on how to hear more Guachi music, how to find Scott and Linda's stuff, and how to support Get Up in the Cool. Let's get started. Here's my interview and jam with Scott Mathis and Linda Askew. Enjoy. Very nice. Scott Mathis and Linda Askew, welcome to Get Up in the Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you for asking us to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, so what did we just play?
We played a tune called Pinto Beans.
Yeah.
that comes from the playing of Elliot Johnson and Lester Babbage's, who were part of a group called the Gawachi Fiddlers from different parts of the Tohono O'odham Reservation, mostly around Sells, which is the capital, or Kababi, where Elliot lived. That tune probably...
Where is that reservation in...
Arizona, southwest of Tucson.
I mean, it's where it is, but like the names that I would recognize, the Colonial... Sorry.
You would know them as the Papagos.
Yeah.
But they really don't want to be called the Tohono O'odham.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And it's in Arizona.
It's in Arizona.
Yeah, okay, cool.
They were the basket makers. They wove those incredible baskets out of yucca and devil's claw, all of that. A lot of people think of them as that, but we think of them about the music.
Yeah, how did they start playing this music?
Well, this tune probably was saved because there was an orchestra that recorded probably in the mid-50s called the Aho Orchestra. Mm. And a lot of the tribe people went and played like every Sunday afternoon or something like that. And so they brought a lot of their traditional music and contemporary music in. So there's kind of a synthesis of things, and that was how a lot of these tunes got saved.
Yeah.
Because each tribe would have a different sort of fiddle tradition. And once they all got together, were pulled into cells, then this amazing repertoire happened. But they didn't really name tunes much. We had to name a lot of these tunes so that we would know the difference in tunes.
Yes.
They just have melodies.
Interesting.
I mean, when he started a tune, he wasn't really sure, and then they heard the tune would come.
Yeah.
So it was the tune. Really not. They never said what they were.
That's never. As a banjo player, that's generally how I play too.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know the names of any of these tunes. So I can relate to that.
Well, they had a very interesting duo fiddle style. The earlier tunes, which these represent the old style.
Yeah.
With the duo fiddle style in there. And so the two of them, Lester and Elliot, were the two fiddle players.
Yeah.
They played. And it was very cool that we got an opportunity to hear them first at Fiddle Tunes and then be able to go out there. We went out there, I don't know, 7 or 8 times to learn from him, learn from Elliot in particular. So we were very lucky to get to do that. So
are they not around anymore?
No,
he's gone. Yeah.
He made sure we got him right.
Yeah, good.
We had to play him the next time.
Yeah, he'd say, okay, play that tune, and he'd remember. Well, let's play another one.
Okay, the banjo will have to tune to G. Now.
Okay, quick tuning break.
So I can't say anything interesting.
Nothing too interesting.
Mm-hmm. You could introduce a tune though.
This tune is another tune from the Tohono O'odham people, and it's called Ali Oidak Polka, and Ali Oidak is a place. It's a little town, or they're not really towns. They're
community.
A little community near Kababi. We went through it. There's a trading post there. Mm. I have no idea how this tune got to be this.
Mm. What is a polka? I don't know what that means.
It's a dance.
Yeah, but like what characterize what like musically? What's different about a polka than I don't know something else?
I don't know
question.
Musically. I mean, is it 2-4, 4-4, that thing? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just a polka.
I see. I'm so ignorant about what it means to polka or to play polka music that I don't even know what question to ask.
Well, it's a good question because we're not playing a German polka here.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to play a polka from the Tohono O'odham Nation and their version of what a polka is.
Yeah.
Just pretty up-tempo. It's still in 2-4 or sometimes 4-4, but...
Certainly how it came to them is from the... Spanish influence.
Yeah, the Spanish influence somewhere.
The dance, you know.
Yeah.
Maximilian, as music came up from Mexico into Arizona and this way, the dances, the polka, the mazurka, the two steps, always been around, I think. And
now, was it the, you said something about the Jesuits teaching, like, the natives.
Yeah.
Was that for this tradition as well as for the like the Gawachi tradition, or are those separate? So we're going to play some of those tunes too, right?
Well, this is the Gawachi session part. We're in a Gawachi
moment. So the Tohono O'odham
is
Gawachi music.
Yeah. Exactly.
For some reason, I thought they were two different things. This this is why I'm interviewing you.
And there's the old time fiddle music. There's the Pascola music. Okay. There's the old time fiddlers, and there's Chicken Scratch.
Oh, okay.
That's how that covers like two centuries.
Right.
Of
so it's the community
music.
Is Tejano Odom, and then this is the fiddle music.
Well, the reservation is the Tejano Odom Reservation.
Yes.
And then we call these the Guachi fiddle tunes.
To identify
yes. them. Yeah.
Very good.
So the really old the old time they're the old time fiddle tunes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll do
Cool. That I'm going to get to G.
Okay.
All right.
See, that counted as something interesting.
I know. Sorry.
And you stopped.
All right.
Okay. Here's the Ali Oydak Polka.
In the key of G.
We changed a little bit, but
yeah.
I kind of like that part.
Yeah.
I guess so. You like that A part.
What's that name of that again?
Ali Oydak.
Yeah.
It's the name of a town.
The town, yeah. Very good. Ali Oydak.
Ali Oydak.
Ali Oydak.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Very good. So, let's say this first. How did you meet?
Over a waltz.
Yep.
Over a waltz.
I was playing...
Tell me more.
I was playing with a band called the Adobe Brothers at the Press Club in Albuquerque. I was sitting in, well, I think this is when I was the fourth Adobe.
Yeah.
And Linda and Kathy?
Yeah, my friends came to listen. Because we know the band.
And like the waltz came, and I said, you know, I think I'll ask that woman to dance.
And he did.
And I got her phone number and... Then I went to Fiddle Tunes, and on the way back, I called you from Cuba, New Mexico, and decided to go on a backpacking trip.
Yeah. Off to a good start.
One way to find out quick.
Yeah.
Then we had cheesecake in the hot springs. And,
and then we started playing music.
That's it. Yeah.
So here we are.
Very good. So how did you two start playing this tradition and other, like, traditional Southwestern music. Did you start there?
Well, I think one thing to think about is how many people have collected music from the old-time fiddlers in their region? You know, and right. Everybody has, particularly in Appalachia. You know,
yes.
A lot of the old-time fiddlers were collected, and people went and recorded them and listened, and we play all those tunes. Well, we live in New Mexico, so we started thinking, well, who are our old-time fiddlers? And there are some Appalachian-style old-time fiddlers and Texas fiddlers, but there's also a whole lot of New Mexico Hispanics in northern New Mexico, and we got interested in that, which is where we're going to go next, play a couple of those tunes. But then we found out about the Guachi fiddlers, and they were going to be in fiddle tunes, and we went to listen, and it's like, we'll be going right over there and doing that. And so we did.
Right on.
We went with Ken Kepler and Jeannie McCleary a number of times, and did record a CD of the music that they had not previously recorded, just to preserve it. So that was a Bayou Seco CD, but it was really all about Elliot and the tunes that they hadn't recorded.
Yeah.
So.
Now, how many people are playing this music?
We don't know. More than ever.
A lot of people on the West Coast, people here at Philippines.
More than you would think.
Yeah.
I mean, people hunt us down here to play it. And sounds like there's already a Guachi session in the works.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
How many of the people who play this music are
native?
Are native, yeah.
That's hard to say too, because the reservation is so spread out.
Yeah.
Probably more than we think, but we don't think there's very many.
Yeah.
We do hear the modern day version is Chicken Scratch, which comes with the saxophones and electric guitars and all of that. And we hear these tunes in their music a lot. But it's just not the double fiddle
style. Right. Do you mean like the vocabulary of the tunes, or you mean these specific melodies you
hear
in the
Chicken
Scratch?
Some of them are specific tunes.
That's cool.
And then other tunes.
Yeah.
More Spanish-influenced tunes that they play.
Gotcha.
The first New Mexico music I ever heard was from Jenny Vincent. Jenny Vincent collected all the WPA music from around that time. I mean, the government paid for her to transcribe a lot of melodies. So hearing her album was really, and knowing she had a mandolin player was the first thing that pulled me in.
Yeah.
I met her, and then like everything else just came after that.
She came out to New Mexico from New York, I think it was, with her husband, who was hired by D.H. Lawrence on the D.H. Lawrence Ranch.
Yeah.
And she taught school up in Peñasco, which was all Hispanic. And during those years, you were not supposed to speak Spanish in school. So her way to get around it was she taught them to sing. So they sang all these tunes and played all these tunes in Spanish, and she got away with it.
Cool.
She played them on the piano key accordion.
Yeah.
She was great.
She was a wonderful woman. Yeah.
Very generous with her music. But this is not one of her tunes.
Not yet. Maybe not.
But yeah.
Yeah.
She counts in the whole thing.
Very good.
Yeah. But another person we learned from was Cleophas Ortiz in northern New Mexico, Bernal, New Mexico. And he used to play for the dances in Las Vegas, New Mexico. And he was also, a chili farmer and a he grew blue corn.
A stonemason.
He was a stonemason up in northern New Mexico. And these next couple tunes come from him.
Okay, so, Valse de los Paños.
Which is the Waltz of the Handkerchiefs, which is a dance.
Thank you.
does this dance work with the handkerchiefs? Do they have actual handkerchiefs?
Yeah.
What do they do with them?
Well, you know, every tradition has its form of dance, which is pretty interesting. And in those early 1800, 1850 times, you know, the grandmothers were there and nobody was supposed to touch. And it was very, you know, people couldn't really court the same way. They had to court through the community dance. And so people would come, so they used handkerchiefs to be proper. And it'd be three people, and they would each, there'd be a person in the middle, and they would be in a row, and they would hold their handkerchiefs.
Yeah.
And the dance, the first part of the dance, they would go under the, under one, they would turn and go under one side and around behind the middle person, and then the other person on the left side would go under the other handkerchief arch that they would hold up and around.
Hmm.
And then they would, and then the B part of the tune, they would go forward and back, you know, so there'd be, you know, it's just a beautiful dance. We've,
so the idea with the handkerchief is they can't touch each other?
Well, that's sort of the idea.
They're linked by the,
linked by the handkerchief. Of course, there's other dances they could, but and culturally in that particular one, they use the handkerchiefs.
Is that like,
it's pretty.
Like a Catholic influence, or is that also in the native?
Well, it's northern New Mexico, so it's Hispanic tradition way back, but I think it happened in many traditions. I mean, I think even in England, the proper English dances have a lot of, you know, you have to wear your handkerchief, you have to wear your glove, you have, your hands are gloved way back, so it kind of was that era of time, and it happened in lots of places, so
it's kind of like
funny.
That here.
Not like that now.
It was real rowdy last night, square dance.
Yeah.
People were touching a lot.
Yeah, touching a lot. Yeah, nothing like that. No, no grandmothers looking over the crowd and protecting the granddaughter. Yeah.
What's next on the list?
It's another Cleophas Ortiz tune called Mi Suegra Aprieta Mis Botas, which means my mother-in-law tightened my bootstrap.
Very good.
Yeah.
Use your imagination on that one.
There are a number of meanings.
Thanks, Grandma.
No more beer.
I mean, mother-in-law.
Yeah. And this is a polka. Northern New Mexico polka.
Okay.
Remember, do we have one more tune left, and is it yours, or is there another? Two. What's the other one? Is it another G tune?
No, the last one is...
No, Poca de Raffo, that's G.
Poca de Raffo, okay, that's G. Cool, one cool, more cool, G. Cool.
See okay. Where you are.
I'm just trying to make sure I'm keeping track and not saying goodbye too early. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. And I also want us to go longer than this, so that's perfect.
Okay.
Okay. So... All
right. Okay. Whatever you had to do.
Okay. So, what other traditions do you play? Because I think you said you didn't start doing... You went to fiddle tunes, and this isn't your first time at Clifftop. Do you all play Appalachian music as well?
Yeah.
Very good. And
Cajun?
Cajun music, very
blues.
Good.
Blues.
Play the blues. I know you
rock and roll.
Play rock and roll, yeah.
Very good. And Italian. We Italian. Actually learned a lot of music from some Italian folks who lived in... up in Rio Rancho, just above Albuquerque.
Yeah.
We were in a band called the Pasta Tones, which was pretty cool.
Pasta Tones.
Yeah. So we learned a lot of that. I mean, of course, it's mandolin music, you know, so
yeah.
It's perfect.
And we play in a community band in Albuquerque that plays at Old Town, which is the Plaza. And we play music from that might have been played at Old Town 100 years ago.
Oh, very good.
Before the mariachis and all that. So
this is more Hispanic. It's all in Spanish. Yeah. That band's called La Rondalla de Albuquerque. It's a community-based band, and so it's a eclectic group of musicians.
Cool.
And it's been very fun to sit with some of those folks. So
a little bit of music from Madagascar.
Oh, very good.
You know.
Stuff.
Well, music around the fiddle, all traditional music.
Yeah, and really, that was the cool thing about the fiddle, is that you can kind of take it anywhere.
Yeah. And learning from people who were there, you know.
Yeah.
We have these Italians, you know. We have the whole Hispanic tradition. Yeah. We have, you know. And it's amazing to play that old Spanish music because you sit there and play it and you look out at your audience and half of them are in tears because they go, they remember. And it's not what they get to hear on the radio now.
Yeah.
So that's pretty fun.
So I guess I'm curious, like, you know, in today's, like, kind of political climate, when people talk about, people have very specific and sometimes kind of precious feelings about people playing music from cultures that they don't necessarily have, you know.
Good question.
They don't have heritage to, you know. And so I'm assuming you guys don't have any heritage of
Spanish heritage.
Spanish heritage or Tejano Odom. Yeah.
Well, you never know about the Indian part because
right,
a lot of people are getting their DNA done and finding out they really do. But,
I guess I'm curious, what do you see as like your roles in like this music? And I know that you've been like teaching some to some native kids.
Sure.
And what has that been like interfacing with like that community and like sharing in their music? Like, has it been tense? Has it been open? Like, what's that like?
It's wonderful. You go and you respect their music, and you don't drink on the reservation.
Yeah.
You do all the things, and they take you in, and then pretty soon they see that you're helping their tradition along. There's very little jealousy involved unless there's money.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's just music.
Yeah.
You know?
One of my first memories was when we'd go out to Elliot's house, and they had a ramada, which was made out of ocotilla cactus, which becomes fence posts, and when the monsoons come, they root and bloom, so they're like a blooming fence. It's pretty cool. But we're in that's their beautiful little ramada area that's portioned off with these ocotillo fences, and they're cooking.
Just to clarify, like these, you said it's a cactus, but when you showed me a picture, it's sort of like a long,
it's a long, thin
and so
skinny.
It kind of looks like a fence of like reeds.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Like that.
But,
like little pole.
But,
little
but it's
tiny.
A cactus.
It's a cactus. It is definitely a cactus. So so we would sit back there and learn from Elliot, and I was learning to play the guitar, those guitar chords, and it was interesting to watch the little kids come up and who would get a guitar out, or the younger folks, and they were watching me for the chords to their grandfather's music.
Yeah.
So there's this, it's like this funnel, you know, you sort of become the link almost between just like happened in many places, you know, people put their fiddles away and our generation started finding them in people's attics, you know, out there they found it through us. So they found their old heritage music through us.
We're kind of the ones that keep other people's traditions alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By respecting them and learning.
And in La Orandaya, they're just grateful. I think they just love sharing it. You know, they just love having us there because they can really share the music, their versions of their tunes. So it's pretty fun.
It's kind of like not ever being a tourist.
Yes. Yeah.
Just there.
Just there. I had an experience recently when I was teaching a young black woman how to sing a Curtis Mayfield song.
Wow.
And it was very
good choice.
It was very strange because, like, for me, because I was like, I'm teaching her like about like his phrasing and like how he sings so drastically behind the beat, you know, and trying to help her with this, and like I transcribed it for her. I was like, here's like his exact rhythms, you know, and like, and it was like kind of strange because I had this sort of like, I think especially in this generation, there's like a lot of people are kind of walking on eggshells, which I think is good, but like it was like sort of like, this feels kind of strange that I'm teaching this like this black girl about black music when she really just wants to sing what's it called, One Direction. Like that's what she likes, you know. She likes that like boy band stuff, you know. Like
that's, yeah.
And it was interesting because I was like, it's totally fine that she likes that music, but it was like strange that I was in a position to like, you know, teach her about R&B, and I'm not even like, I don't even know if I know enough about it to respect it, other than I just fell in love with Curtis Mayfield and like these recordings.
It's a very similar situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and except for I didn't ask anyone's permission, I guess, you know.
Who would you ask?
Exactly. Yeah, it's pop music, so you know. But yeah.
Curtis Mayfield's a great choice, though.
Yeah, he's the best. He's so good. These are like the questions, you know, we ask, like, I think especially as like white folks, like trying to hold on to traditions and trying to connect with other people. And it's like it's kind of delicate, but it's really heartening to hear that like your experience has been so positive.
There's a few glitches, but just people, differences in people.
Yes.
You know, there's some jealousy that pops up because you're doing this for this family or you're not doing this.
Right.
But it is a normal human thing.
You have to pay attention.
Right. Well, it seems like it's more maybe relational as opposed to political.
Exactly.
Which is
exactly
like...
exactly what it is.
Good tension.
It's all
good
relational.
To have relational tension. That's what relating is. Yeah.
And you know, we're approaching it as learners, you know, because we're not learning the music only, we're learning the culture and the tradition.
Yeah.
So we go learn from the Italians, we had to eat every time, you know, and the two women in the band, you know, competed with, they each one had the best sauce, you know, and it's like, oh, mine's better than hers. And so you have to
Could you tell a difference?
Yeah, well, yeah, the one was a green sauce and the other was a red sauce, but they were pretty fun to, you know, to watch all of that. So you're there as a learner and you really become absorbed in the culture. And so I think when they see you getting that, it means a lot to them, you know, and they don't expect you to be able to pronounce the Spanish correctly, or for me it's playing the rhythms exactly right, because there's some very unique rhythms in all that Spanish music, you know, it's very different. And so you just, you know, you just do what you can and keep being a learner, and it all works.
Got a couple left. What are we playing next?
We're gonna play Polka de Rafa, tune I wrote
for
Paul Rangel's son, Raphael.
Wonderful.
That kind of congeals all of the stuff we've been playing into this tune.
It was a summary of experiences with Cleophas and Paul's son being born.
Yeah. All right.
And playing at the Our Lady of Guadalupe Church in San Francisco.
With Cleo.
Polka de Rafa. Thank you.
cool tune. Good tune, Scott.
Thanks.
Very good.
Very good tune. Very fun.
Yeah. All right. So
what?
This is normally the part of the show where I ask like what you want to plug or promote, but it seems like what you guys really want to talk about. You have a couple CDs, right?
We have some CDs.
You have some CDs, but you also really just want people to play this music and learn it. Where are some like good resources for learning this music? How do people learn it, other than listening to this podcast?
The Guachi tunes are hard to find. You know, it's listening to this podcast, and there are people playing them, but I don't know that there's a source anymore.
I think you can still get Volume 2 of the Guachi Fiddlers on Canyon Records.
Ah, very good.
I don't know. They've upgraded the cassette and remastered it, and that was available for a while.
And I think Canyon Records has a new name, but I don't know what it is. So searching it, you should be able to find that, though.
Are those WPA transcriptions still available? Can you find those, or are they just gone?
Jenny Vinson had some books, but I think...
Well, her son has them, and he's in Peru, so...
Yeah.
I think if you have really great interest in this stuff, email me at mandowork@msn.com.
Great.
I can send you stuff. Yeah. I can mail you stuff.
And the Guachi Fiddle tunes have been transcribed by...
John.
John.
But I'm not sure what his last name is.
Okay.
The guy who was playing the mandolin up there.
Oh, very good.
He transcribed all
that. Yeah, maybe I'll get...
They're all on the website.
Very good.
And he sent them to us for approval.
So
very
it's,
cool.
Yeah, it's Guachi, G-U-I-C-H-I, I think is how it's spelled if you Google it. Yeah. You should be able to find his transcriptions anyway. And Cleo's tunes, you know, the Northern New Mexico stuff, again, email Scott.
And
it's out and about, too. So.
And you also have some CDs for sale
we
that
do.
People can get?
We do have CDs, yeah, but they would have... a couple of these tunes plus others.
Yeah.
So, we recorded some with the Sandia Hots, which we don't play with anymore, but we have those, and the Soda Rock Ramblers, which is with Larry Adelman and David Kahn. And
are those online, or we just need to contact you for it?
Yeah. You need to contact
Great.
Us. And then some are on
if
the
anybody wants them,
just Seco CDs. Yeah.
Email that
mandowork@msn.com.
Very cool.
Yeah. Well, we got one more tune left.
Yeah.
To shoot or lose it?
Yeah.
So, did you ask a question earlier about what all traditions we played? I think we, at least for me, I started with all the Appalachian fiddle tunes. So.
Yes.
That's right.
And this one represents that, except that it's a modern new tune that Scott wrote.
Very good.
All about the Deschutes River. Sort of the Deschutes River adventure.
Yeah.
The Deschutes River and the brewery.
That's called, a good brewery.
Called Deschutes or Lose It.
Yeah.
Oh, now we're in C.
Okay, Deschutes or Lose It.
you want to hear more Guachi music, Guachi Fiddlers Old Time Autumn Fiddle Music, the album, is still available on Canyon Records, and I included a link if you want to buy a CD or cassette. They offer cassettes. If you want any of Scott and Linda's music, you should contact Scott at mandowork@msn.com, or mandowork, as he said. I didn't put it together that it's also mandowork. Very clever, Scott. I didn't get that until I wrote it down. That's mandowork or mandowork@msn.com. Contact him and ask him what's the best way to get his and Linda's music. If you like the show and want me to keep making it regularly and enthusiastically, please consider supporting Get Up in the Cool on Patreon. Just go to CameronDeWitt.com, click the Patreon button, then select a level that works for you. There are rewards like on-air shoutouts, MP3 downloads, online banjo workshops, and weekly bonus tracks. For this week's bonus track, we play Wish I Had My Time Again. Classic. You gotta hear it. If you sign up for the weekly MP3 downloads, you'll get access to the ever-expanding Get Up in the Cool Tune Archive. It's over 20 hours at this point, so yeah, great rewards, but the real reward is knowing that you helped keep the show on the air, so to speak. Special thanks to Mark Waldenberg, Get Up in the Cool's newest patron. Your support means a lot to me, Mark. Thank you so much. If anyone's interested in banjo lessons, I teach Skype banjo lessons, so hit me up on Facebook or the contact form on my website if you're interested, especially if you want to play more melodies with more freedom and confidence and unlock the shapes up the neck. I usually do Saturday afternoons, and you would be a lovely addition to my teaching schedule. That's all for now, and for the rest of the calendar year, I'm going to rebroadcast a few older episodes, but I'm not releasing any new interviews until January 17th. I need to take a break. I haven't since Clifftop. How can you miss me if I don't leave? Anyway, it's time to choose the tracks for the 2017 Best of CD, and I could use your help. I think I'll put a poll up in the Get Up in the Cool Facebook group, so make sure to join that group so you can weigh in. I'm talking about the Facebook group, not the Facebook page. I'll put links to that and everything I mentioned in the show notes on my website, on the app you're using to listen to this, and this episode's Facebook post. So just tap around, as usual, until you've liked and subscribed to everything and bought all of my guest stuff. Thanks for listening, friends. Come back next year to Get Up in the Cool.